We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay. Some 50 Cent. Rami dropped the 50 Many Men. Queens. And everybody talks about that first pitch that 50 threw, but the most famous pitch is from Grimace now, and I don't feel like everybody's talking about Grimace the same as they were. Maybe that expired as we've gotten to the month of July. Hello, Keith McPherson on the Fan inside the 9 o'clock hour as we proceed, and I'm in here now watching Christian Scott throw pitches for the Mets. He just gave up that two-run bomb to O'Neal Cruz, and there was a stat that they flashed about him with runners on versus not, and I think it was like 188 with runners with no runners on base, and I think it was 378 batting average with runners on. So this is a young guy that is a part of your future as Mets fans. This is a young guy that has some good stuff. It's been a up and down rocky first season for him. But he will learn and he will get better, and I think they're going to trust this guy, and I think they have a plan for this guy. And in my open, I said the 75 pitches pitch count is a plan that they're going to stick to no matter what in the game and the situation. You as fans, of course, want to see him go longer because you fear without Edwin Diaz and Dednil Nunez and Reed Garrett, you fear what's coming out of that bullpen. And today a young guy by the name of Eric Orsi made his debut. It was terrible. But he said he was grateful for the opportunity. It didn't go his way, but he felt confident and felt good, and that's baseball. You can feel great about your stuff and what you have, and you can get rocked quickly and get taken out as they try to preserve the lead, or it wasn't even a lead at the time, but try not to fall too far out of striking distance to come back. The bullpen, the bullpen, the bullpen. If you're a Mets fan, it's all about the bullpen. It is all about a test for David Stearns to go out there and fix the bullpen. And what I say is start now. Start trying to make a move now. Because if you wait, it's only going to get harder. If you wait, it's only going to get tougher by the deadline because everybody's going to be picking up the phones and somebody's going to have a better offer than you in the moment. But if you get out in front of this, maybe you can get some under-the-radar guys. I just feel like he's got to know some people. He's got to have some connections. There's got to be somebody I don't know about that he knows. There's got to be somebody that we don't know about that he can call in another organization. You know, I'm watching Hard Knocks the other night, and I put two and two together, which maybe you did, but I didn't until they showed it, right? Okay, the Giants GM has ties to Carolina. He goes on vacation with a guy that can make a move for a Burns trade, and it's like a light bulb went off. I know it's television production, but still, at the time, I was like, wow, what a trade. I say that to say this. These trades happen between people that have a relationship together, that have a rapport, have experience, either working with each other, someone that they know or trust or whatever. You're more inclined to do business with someone you've done business or worked with before. 888-808-1019. So there was a lot of people saying that Steve Cohen, no one wanted to do business with him because he's the richest owner in the sport and they're not trying to help him out. I don't think that's the case. I think you saw Billy Epler and him do a lot last year before the deadline. And there's many people that think that David Stearns had something to do with that, even while he wasn't in New York. They think that David Stearns had something to do with all the selling off preemptively before taking the job. So now, after you've come out there and you've said how great the energy was at Citi Field, you want this to continue. You want to keep it up. Okay, you've got a home stand here where you'll run it back against the Nationals, and you have the Rockies. And these are two teams that you could beat, that you could potentially sweep, but nobody believes that because if you have a lead and you've got to turn it over to this bullpen, we don't expect them to hold. So make some moves now. Obviously, you have a handful of guys that you can trust. But the other thing is, okay, if you're not scoring over six runs, seven runs, up to double-digit runs, you're not winning the game, right? And the games that they've lost, you just can't expect them to go out there and put up that many runs. But there was a lot of twos. They lost both of these games only scoring two runs. That's not going to get it done anywhere. That's not going to get it done across Major League Baseball. That was what the Yankees were doing last year, scoring two runs, couldn't beat anybody. If they got to three, yippee. Felt like a win. And you have guys doing it, but you know what? It's a team and it's a lineup that when they struggle, right, you got to pick each other up. Some guys have been hotter than others. Some guys have been pleasant surprises. But when you have guys that you're depending on go over, it's tough, right? As great as JD Martinez has been, him going over, tough. All right, and I don't have to go through the rest of the guys. You know, even like you're dependent on a DJ Stewart. He goes 0-3. That's not going to win you ball games. You're still going through the motions with Jeff McNeil. What to do with him? Now he's playing right field, left field. He's playing the outfield. It's like, obviously, Jose Iglesias is someone who, with his song and the OMG stuff and the fact that the OMG sign, I guess you can buy it somewhere. I saw some Mets fans with the OMG sign in the crowd. Like, that has become a prop and a thing for the Mets when they homer. I think it's cool. But that's his thing. So you're endorsing him. And I think the more you endorse him, the more the writing is on the wall that you're willing to part with Jeff McNeil. You can say one thing in the media. That's what Carlos Mendoza does, say one thing in the media. He's our second baseman. And then you can see he potentially not be. But there's moves to be made. And obviously we have the trade deadline. But before that, we have the home run derby and the All-Star game. And I know there's a lot of Mets fans not just mad at the bullpen, but mad that they're not getting the respect that they deserve, that the Mets are snubbed again. And Francisco Lindor has played great. But you know what hurts his case? His own fan base, his own city, his own radio station. Everybody saying how terrible the contract is, how this guy starts slow. So, like, a lot of times with the All-Star voting and the All-Star team, it's guys that have a good April, May. And if they tail off a little bit in June, their numbers are still good enough where they're in. Now, obviously, there's a ton of numbers that support Lindor being in. But you also got to be voted in, and there's a bunch of other stuff. Like, Lindor hasn't been an All-Star. I clipped something. I don't know where it's from to credit, but they showed how all of the other guys that have a war over three are All-Stars except Francisco Lindor. He ranks five in this category. All the guys around him, from Mookie Betts, who Mookie Betts is hurt. I did see something that I have in my notes about Mookie Betts being hurt. This came from SNY TV. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Mookie Betts are All-Stars who won't be able to play because of injury. MLB can right or wrong by picking Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor to replace them. That actually was a tweet that they took from Danny Abriano and they put on Instagram and repurposed. Yeah, maybe they could end up being the replacements. I don't know if that's finalized today. Or I think it's coming up. But yeah, they've been snubbed. Lindor and Nimmo deserve to be guys that represent the Mets in Arlington. And you know what? They represent them wherever they go. These are guys that are picking up the bill, paying for the food, paying for team dinners, taking care of their teammates. And, like, that's something to me that just goes a long way. Guys that have the big money, guys that have the big contract, taking care of everybody else, recognizing that we can afford this, and recognizing the morale that comes with eating together, breaking bread together, and actually it being good food and them eating well. And I read that, you know, 100% of attendance has come with these dinners. And when they're paying for it, the whole team is there, as they should be. That's why I also said with the Yankees, I'm like, you're back in Tampa. I know they got some connections down there. They got the off night, maybe have a dinner tonight to rally the troops and regroup. But yeah, we're talking Mets right now. Let's go to the phone, and I'll mix in some more stuff with the Mets. Lastly, you know, Pete Alonso shouldn't be a surprise. I said in my open, he's going for the three-peat. He's going to keep doing the home run derby till he can win his third one and call it a three-peat. And he is the face of the Mets at the All-Star game for the last 5 years, from 2019 to now. I've been out there. I've seen him. He is the one representing the Mets. And, I mean, even last year, I think I told you guys, I went to the T-Mobile party. That was him and Julio Rodriguez, who were in their host city. T-Mobile had those two guys as the guys billed as, you know, their party. And it was great. Nelly performed. I had a great time. It was a dope party somewhere in Seattle. And right there, I'm like, Pete is the guy. Pete is in the All-Star game again. And hopefully they'll do right by Lindor and Nimmo. Let's go to Anthony in Bridgewater, New Jersey. We're talking Mets on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? Thanks for taking my call, my man.
Yes, sir. You got it.
Listen, I agree with you 100% about the Mets right now. You know, they started off the year terrible, went on a run, got terrible, back on a run, and now we're back to, like, you know, average. Here's the deal. If you were to tell me right now, to start the year, and I think this is what we said, that they'd be a 500 team. That's kind of where you thought they would be and kind of where you probably wanted to be around the All-Star break.
Yeah.
With the schedule that maybe they probably hopefully will be above 500. And I got to be honest with you, there's really no one in this wild card race that you're scared of. You have a good argument to make a wild card. They have to get relief pitching. This team has done enough now to show you that they're good enough. You made a good point too, like, you know, they're a good solid team. They got to get, and I don't want to hear this nonsense. There's even guys on the radio saying to trade Severino again.
Why?
You don't trade one of your best pitchers. It's ridiculous. I almost drove off the road Friday night when I was listening to the WFAN. You don't trade one of your best pitchers to get relievers. You don't trade from a strength. To me, it's the dumbest thing ever. I don't even understand concept.
I'm with you, Anthony. At this point, you know what to do. There is no back and forth whether the Mets are buyers or sellers unless they lose out the rest of this month, which I don't expect. They need to be buyers. You give your fan base the hope. This isn't a fan base that goes to the postseason every year. This isn't a fan base that goes to back-to-back postseasons. So you give them the hope that they can continue on. And I know hope is not a strategy, but, man, they just played above their heads for a month. If you get them some relief pitching, there will be more nights that this lineup comes through and does hit home runs and does score double-digit runs, where if you have the bullpen to hold this lead, you'll feel a lot better about your chances. And like you said, with this NL, like, who really scares you that's in front of you? No one should scare you that's under you, but it's in striking distance for you to legit be a wild card team.
And to be honest, they actually have a deeper farm system that they had. I'm not asking to trade the top guys they got in the last couple of years, but you know how middle relief is. I mean, even like a guy like Robertson, they can get back and he can help you. To me, just a stopgap guy in the seventh or eighth inning to get you to Diaz or a seventh guy. Like, to me, I mean, they need just one or two of those guys. And to me, that could be the difference of getting 80 wins or 84 wins and making a wild card.
Right.
I think they're right there. And to me, this is the first year, I would say, in about 5 or 6 years where you don't need a DH. You don't need a third baseman. You don't need a catcher at the break. Like, to me, their lineup's good enough. I think you need relievers, maybe a starting pitcher, but you're good to go. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. I don't know who's telling you guys to trade Luis Severino, but I remember being on before the break saying, why? He lives in New York. He was a former Yankee. He doesn't want to go anywhere. You need pitching beyond this year. Obviously, you sign that one-year deal for $13 million early when you do, with the thought of, okay, if this guy is terrible like he was last year, then we're not committed to him long-term. But I think he's a guy that showed you he could be the ace of your staff when healthy. He's been really good. I know he got hit a little bit over the weekend, but like, there's no point in trading Luis Severino. You need him for this run. Winning cures all. Look at what they were able to do in June, winning to turn the whole fan base around. And we pointed to everything but them, right? We pointed to everything but the team meeting, which I'm begging the Yankees to have one before they step back on the field. Maybe it'll happen before the All-Star break. Who knows? The team meeting, Jose Iglesias coming up, Francisco Alvarez being healthy and being back, Edwin Diaz being back, putting Lindor in the leadoff spot. No, it's Grimace and it's the OMG song. That's cool. That is cute for casuals, but I think people that watch the Mets night in and night out, they feel confident that they don't have any holes in the lineup. And even the guys that are holes in the lineup, like a Jeff McNeil, he can run into one. He could take Paul Skeens deep. And so let's talk about that. Right, if you want to trade Jeff McNeil somehow, you can do it. You have the flexibility to do it. Especially with the rumbles of Ronald Acuna Jr.'s brother coming up. Is he going to play second? Obviously, Jose Iglesias is your guy. With this song and the popularity and everybody in MLB now being aware of this, that's another thing, too. I think the Mets were flying under the radar. You're not flying under the radar anymore. You're back to people realizing that, hey, this is a New York baseball team with a rich owner, a new president of baseball operations who had success in a small market. He's in his first year having success again. Hey, you have a target on your back. Because you have a pop star in the lineup. You have a target on your back because people think the Grimace thing outside of here is ridiculous. So now, right, when you had that team meeting after being swept by the Dodgers and the message was, hey, we have nothing to lose. All of our opponents are trying to not lose to us. No, now you're marked men. Now they're showing up to play. Now the Washington Nationals and the Washington Nationals and the Pirates, teams that you felt like you should beat, they're showing up to split with you. They're showing up to challenge you, and they all know your weakness. They all know if they can get through four to six innings and get to your bullpen, that's their best opportunity to win the game. That's their best opportunity to steal the game. And how often can your offense put up 10 runs plus? Not every night. Not every night. Let's see where it goes. 888-808-1019. Mike is in Clifton Park, New York. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. A great show as usual. So, you know, I'm a Mets fan, and I'm excited with how they kind of climb back to the 500 mark. And hopefully Stearns does a good job and brings us some pitching. And I'm really hopeful. You know, we have some young guys in the farm system that are coming up, pitchers and hitters. So I really think Mets are in a really decent place. I'm sorry about your Yankees, you know, but
it's not
we've been
fault.
Kind of talking. No, I know. But we have been kind of talking about them for years as baseball fans, the farm system and Brian Cashman and the Failings. And he's been patching it together without a lot of talent coming through the farm system. And I think it all caught up with them now. And I think this is the I think that's what's happening. And, you know, this may be the end for Cashman. You know, I don't think he's going to get fired now, but
this might be his last contract. That's valid to say. He might finish out this contract.
Yeah. The farm system and the lack of talent, coming in. I mean, you guys really haven't, developed a lot of players in the last decade or so.
A handful. A lot of misses. And a ton of prospect hugging that did not materialize.
Yeah. Then that's rough. So, you know, I hope it turns around. And sorry you guys have to go through it. But anyway, thanks, Keith, for the show and the call.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, as we transition back into the Yankees. And it makes me think about the call about how Steinbrenner. It's obvious that the Yankees are playing for right now and tomorrow. When Hal Steinbrenner's talking about it's not sustainable to have these high payrolls, he's basically telling you, we're not going to be going out there signing $300 million guys every offseason. And we have a plan in place with the young talent and the names that you heard that are on their way up here. We're not going to be trading them away. So that's why I say Hal is damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. If he comes out and says, you know what, we're going to spend and this is the team and we got to go all in right now, when they fail and then they don't have the young prospects that you guys were all hoping to lead the way into the future and they're doing it big elsewhere, you're going to say, remember Spencer Jones, remember Jason Dominguez, remember Bubba. We held on.
Not if you win, though.
Yeah, but see, what's more likely, right, that they go all in at this deadline, they give up their top prospects, and they actually go all the way and win it this year?
I know, but what do you
want to
do?
It's a crapshoot. There's an extra team.
Just not good enough forever? Meaning, the teams who go all in, like the example I think of is the Rams in football, who went all in for Matthew Stafford, and now look how great the Lions are from all those picks and Jared Goff. It doesn't matter. They won their Super Bowl. So like,
yeah, football
if you go
is a little
for it,
different.
I know, okay, but
I understand
is,
what you mean.
Yeah.
And stay with me. Rami Lavie on the Fan behind the glass. We want them to go in at this deadline, right? They went all in their thoughts in 2022. It wasn't good enough for us. And they ran into some bad luck, right? Benintendi hit by pitch. He doesn't come back. They were expecting Matt Carpenter at age 30, whatever, to come back from the foot. That didn't pan out. Harrison Bader looked like a great move with him homering in the postseason, and then he turned back into a pumpkin, and they had to put him on waivers. Who else did they get?
Well,
Frankie Montas, really Lou Trevino.
They didn't really go all in. They held Peraza out of a potential trade for Luis
was
Castillo.
Was it Peraza or was it Volpe?
Okay, either one.
We don't know, because Peraza Castillo, was playing. You're... Peraza they had playing in the ALCS against the eventual champs. That looked dumb to me. That looked really stupid to me. You couldn't, like, okay, this kid wasn't ready at any other time during the year, but now that IKF is struggling, you have no other options.
It's because they told you all year that IKF was a shortstop.
Yeah, and that can't happen.
That can't happen.
So if you're going to tell me again, do the same thing where this year they're going to go out and they're going to say, well, we're good enough. We believe that DJ's going to figure it out and Glaber's going to figure it out. Then you're not going
all in. That's what I'm basically telling you guys, right? Yankee fans are upset right now, expecting different results. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to get Brubaker back. They're going to get Efros back. And they're going to say, well, you know, that's as good as getting an acquisition without having to give up about, you know what I'm saying? They're going to tell you that, oh, well, DJ's, you know, he's starting to hit the ball. He hit a ball to the wall. He drove in some runs in the last couple weeks. DJ is coming around. Glaber has gotten through his little rut. You know, we expect Glaber Torres to be Glaber Torres. He's got to get it going. They're going to tell you these things.
So why would Yankee fans expect anything better?
You shouldn't.
Like, it's going to be the same results.
You shouldn't. So, like, I'm not going to tell you today that they're not a potential World Series team because crazier things have happened in baseball. But I'm also not going to tell you today that you shouldn't be calling saying this team is cooked. It's more of the same. There's no way they win the World Series. It's too hard to predict.
What do you think it would take? You said they're not going to fire anyone in the front office, not Boone either. What do you think it would take to get to that point?
I think they need to shake up the clubhouse. So out of all of the wish list things, send someone away that we're not thinking about, like you did with Jordan Montgomery, to make these guys wake up and realize, hey, it's now or never. It's do or die right now. You're sitting comfortable today. You could be gone tomorrow. Like, shake up the clubhouse. Where there's a guy like, I mean, Glaber Torres. Everybody loves Glaber, right? And you keep messaging and telling us, oh, Glaber's going to... If you get Glaber Torres out of here for a bag of chips, that's fine. And that's going to shake up the clubhouse to realize, yo, nobody is safe. But then also now, you have grown into having so many holes and problems. There's no way I expect you to go into this deadline and be able to fix all of them.
There's five potential holes that if you look at second base, third base, probably catcher... Maybe an extra bat and then relievers. It was at five holes.
How are you going to get all of that without what it takes to give?
Exactly.
You're not going to give up your top prospects because you're planning on having a lower payroll in the future. You already have guys like Volpe, Cabrera, Wells, and now Ben Rice contributing where you look into the future and expect those guys to be around and be cost effective. But at this deadline, if you know it and I know it, if Keith McPherson and Rami Levy on the fan know it, you think that all these executives and GMs and people, you think they don't know it when they're on the phone with Cashman? No, the price is the price. They're going to set the price and move on to another team. So don't be surprised when they don't yield the return that you're all hoping for. As I see you guys cooking up videos and tweets and, oh, we got to get Tanner Scott. And we got to get Mason Miller. And we got to get Christian Walker. We got to get Pete Fairbanks. We got to get Jazz Chisholm. Yeah, all right. It's not that simple. Let's go to Jason and Edison on the fan in New York. What's up, Jay?
Hey, bro. Hey. So Glaber Torres, I know he's been doing a little on the low side lately. I think looking at him every single day, he's just lacking a lot of fundamentals, and he's not really motivated. Like, he's not really legging out the plays he needs to do. And as a manager, Aaron Boone on the side, he should really be thinking about what this guy means to the team and if he needs to be seen as someone who can help the team or maybe, as you were saying later, motivate them. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, you know, stay with me, Jay. I feel like when the Subway Series hit, and most people remember from Mets or Yankees' perspective, when Glaber didn't run it out there and everybody kind of came at him and said enough is enough, he sat for 2 days. And then he came back in that Blue Jays series, and I think with him sitting and Marcus Stroman on the mound and Marcus Stroman feeling like, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. These guys behind me got to have my back. I think it was Vladdy who hit a ball that Stroman thought was going to be turned for a double play, and when it wasn't, he lashed out at Glaber Torres. And I don't think he was correct in the moment, but I think it was pent up. I think there was a play in San Diego that cost Stroman with Glaber, and I think there was another game, maybe Anaheim, I forget. But either way, what I'm saying is with Glaber Torres, he is what he is. We've seen enough of a sample size. We've seen too much of a sample size. That's in his DNA. Being a player that doesn't leg it out and feeling bad for himself, that's who he is. Being a player that is very casual and cavalier with his steps and his fundamentals, like you mentioned, that's who he is. And I don't think there's anything Aaron Boone could do to get to him, because if he could have, it would have happened by now.
Yeah. Glaber Torres We got him from the Cubs when he was a prospect. We built this guy up. I feel like we should get a little bit more out of him. Like, I mean, maybe we can do...
And we did, Jason, we did. He had a 38 home run season. He had some seasons where we're thinking this guy is the future. But, you know, I can't be too impressed with what he did last year when the team was 500, and I'm not impressed with what I've seen from him this year in a prove-it year. Jason, this is the year that he's supposed to prove to the world who he is to make the most money for him and his family and his career, and he's not had a good year.
Yeah. All I can hope is that for the Yankees' sake and the playoffs, like, we got to get back to the World Series. Like, we need that stuff. So,
yeah. What year did you start really watching the Yankees? What year were you really locked in? You could say that was the first full season where, you know, I watched a lot of games. I knew who was on the team. Like, that was, you know, my first real year being a Yankee fan.
Probably like 2017 or 2018. So I witnessed that trade and I was like, this might actually happen.
Yeah.
Like, this
might
be big.
Because Gleyber Torres, I believe, was the MVP of the Arizona Fall League in 2017. He was a prodigy. They talked about him like being the potential shortstop for the Yankees, and that fizzled out. And now I think we're looking at a player who's mentally beat up, challenged, and just can't bring it out of himself consistently enough with the Yankees. And it's a foregone conclusion that the Yankees are not going to offer him big money and he won't be back. And I think that is in the front of his mind. I think in the front of his mind, he knows, man, I had the chance to be the Yankee shortstop. I had a chance to be a Yankee for life. Fans love me, like Jason from Edison. People tried to have my back, like Keith McPherson going into the Dodgers series saying, hey, this is not a time to be getting on Gleyber Torres. We need him with the absence of Juan Soto. And then he drops a pop-up and does some other things where I'm like, okay, this guy you can't defend.
Yeah, I hear it. It's a little rough for us right now. But I'm just looking at past series like Cincinnati where we got swept by the Reds. We're looking at results. Other than, like, as you've been saying lately, other than, like, Soto, Judge, all those players, the offense is really fizzling out, and we need to find something that really offensive approach that suits the team as one instead of just three or four players.
It can't be everybody trying to hit the ball 500 feet. Yeah. It has to be some small ball. It has to be more thought about. At least they changed the lineup a little bit, but ultimately you're missing guys that were key parts of the lineup, like Rizzo and Stanton, and then other key parts that were performing in the beginning of the year. They're slumping, like Verdugo, who hits one home run. He thinks he's all the way back. Not quite. I mean, even Ben Rice hitting three home runs. Then the next day, what did you get? Gleyber Torres is also one of the main culprits of that. The bottom of the order doesn't give you anything. Like guys like DJ LeMahieu, who was a batting champ, all-star getting MVP votes not too long ago. They're not what you expected them to be. So moves have to be made. You need consistency. You need guys that consistently put bat to ball. And this lineup needs to be reworked because guys even like Juan Soto aren't hitting home runs at the rate that they were and aren't hitting for extra base hits at the rate they were. And it can't just be Judge save us. Judge has been called on to save us too much. And when it's crunch time, when it comes down to it, he can't do it. Even Volpe has struggled. Like, they need more once again. And we thought, Judge and Soto, what else could you really need? But just a couple decent players around them, they unfortunately need a couple more bats in this lineup that can be consistent.
Yeah, I hear that. And even if this guy really, one more thing, even if this guy really isn't, like, that guy to, like, maybe, like, hit the ball, or maybe one day he does well in the field, makes a diving play, or even like makes a nice little hit. He has to, at the end of the game and at the end of the season, there are young players in the lower levels, like of the minor league, who need to understand how it feels to be a major leaguer.
Oh yeah.
And he, along with other people, can really help those people. And I feel like,
yeah, look at Ben Rice, Jason. That young guy comes up with a smile and an energy, being a Yankee fan, living his dream. And I had hoped that that would be more infectious than the contagious losing and lackadaisical effort. And you're 100% right. A guy like Yorbit Vivas is down there hoping he gets the opportunity. Oswald Peraza hoping he gets the opportunity. And that's what I was talking about, these guys going through the motions every day. You're playing for the New York Yankees in front of 40,000-plus fans. You represent so much past history and excellence. Don't take it for granted. It could be here today, gone tomorrow. And I don't feel like those guys feel that threat so much. They're kind of just showing up and you know, halfing it. And they get caught sleeping a lot. And you can't be allowed to do that multiple times like Gleyber Torres and some others have.
Yeah, I hear that.
But this isn't it, Jay. I mean, this is just the halfway mark. We are going into a stretch here against our own division where, I mean, if there's any time to step into the ring and be ready to fight and battle, it's right now. We'll see what they're made of in this next week, and then we'll go into the much-needed All-Star break, and then 2 weeks after that is a trade deadline where it's off to the races. They've already had their dog days. They can't have them again in August.
That's true.
Keep your head
up,
kid.
It counts, right?
That's where it counts. It's a long baseball season. We could be in a month talking about, wow, everybody got right. Stanton came back. They made this move at the deadline. The Yankees are reinforced and ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed. Thanks for the call, Jason. 888-808-1019. We've got to take another break. It's halftime, halfway through my five-hour KM to AM, talking about the New York Mets, talking about the New York Yankees. The All-Star game, I'll talk about a little bit more when we come back. Some snubs, some home run derby stuff, what I expect it to look like out there, those terrible jerseys and hats. Yeah, we'll do a little bit more on the All-Star game and obviously take your calls on the Mets and the Yankees. Keith McPherson on the fan. Call up. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talk about it on the fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make it. We're going to make it to 12 o'clock. I think the Yankees will obviously make the postseason, and I think the Mets have a good chance, too. A decent chance. 50-50. They're 500. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's get back to the calls and conversation. I said I was going to speak a little bit more about the All-Star game. Like, you know, I think that MLB has the best All-Star game, weekend, activities from the Futures game, even the HBCU game that they have before that, the draft happening out there. The Home Run Derby is the best sports competition. I know NHL has a lot of things they do. I know the NFL tries to put together passing competitions, but like the Home Run Derby to just watch, I've been at a few of them. It's amazing. Shout out to Pete Alonso going again. And I think they have a good place for it because it's a brand new ballpark down there, Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, home of the Texas Rangers who won the World Series last year. I wish that MLB would have leaned into their color scheme instead of going with these Technicolor highlighter color jerseys. I don't know what they're trying to do. And I think they have that color mixed with like a sand color to try and play into the like Texas Western. I don't know. I think it's a mess. We'll see what it looks like out on the field when they wear their uniforms. But I really do hope that they right a wrong. Francisco Lindor, his numbers and what he's been able to do over this last month and change, like he's in rare air, rare company. You're just seeing a lot of things pop up for him as a shortstop. You know, just historic numbers. And then when you pair him with Brandon Nimmo and the turnaround with both of these guys, Mets fans are looking at, you know, two guys they paid, two guys that are part of their quote-unquote core and their future not getting the respect of Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball fans. But Pete Alonso gets to go again because of the Home Run Derby. And, you know, they got to bring eyes and ears and attention to that. 888-808-1019. The Home Run Derby this year, they're not done with the contestants. But obviously, you know, Pete Alonso returns. He's trying to three-peat. He's trying to get his third one. Gunnar Henderson, I'm looking forward to seeing that kid in the Home Run Derby. Many of you are deciding to compare Gunnar Henderson with Anthony Volpe. Understandable. The position they play, when they were drafted, where they were drafted, the division they're in, and what Gunnar Henderson has turned into this year. Alec Bohm, he's a guy with another interesting start to his major league career, but he's a baller. He's in the Home Run Derby. another guy that is talked about with the likes of Anthony Volpe, Bobby Witt Jr., a shortstop that got the bag. And if you watch that kid play, I mean, just against the Yankees, I think he hit 500. You know, he's one of the best young players in the game. Good to see him step up and compete. And Marcell Ozuna will be featured. Let's see how many people bring up his domestic violence suspension and what went on with him with the DUI and all these other miscellaneous things off the field. But he's a guy with some power numbers who started off the season hitting the ball very far. So he's in it. Let's see who else is in the Home Run Derby. The Home Run Derby, when you go out there, that's the main event. People are way more juiced up to drink and go to the Derby and put bets on that round by round than the All-Star game. We all know the actual game, they're not playing for anything. They're not playing for home field anymore. And with 32 first-time All-Stars watching that game, you're going to see a bunch of guys you've never heard of. You're going to see a bunch of guys you're not familiar with. And you might not even watch that game. 888-808-1019. You'll be watching the Mets and the Yankees. And for anyone watching the Yankees suggesting that Buck Showalter is the answer at manager, what? That's why I hate when the Yankees struggle like this, because then the conversations just get ridiculous. And I'm not saying Buck isn't a good manager or whatever, but it's done. It's over for him. His last run was with the Mets, and they showed him the door easily. And Terry Collins is coming back. I saw Terry Collins is going to join the booth. So as much conversation about best booth in baseball and how our Yankees radio booth has had some alternating seats, I saw Terry Collins, who has the most epic rant and ejection and video in Mets history, put him in the Hall of Fame for it. He tweeted out that he's happy to be back. He'll be in the booth with SNY Baseball Night in New York. And Daniel Murphy is in the fold. And I think Jerry Blevins was in the fold. So SNY, I have a ton of respect for them as someone who went to school for television and the production they put together. And I do think that they're arguably the best booth in baseball. That was actually voted on and reported by The Athletic before it came up a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, Terry Collins will be in the studio on SNY's Baseball Night in New York, not calling the game. Jerry Blevins just called the game, and I think Daniel Murphy will get to do that as well. You already got a good crew, Gary, Keith, and Ron. You got a great crew. So just going through some things that are left in my notes. Still got some more stuff, but want to get back to the phones. I know Yankee fans want to call and talk about some things, but first I got to go to my guy Gary in Waterbury, Connecticut. Thanks for holding, Gary. You're on the Fan.
I smash teeth, ask your beef, no relief. I step on stage.
The girls scream like I'm Keith, and I got that instrumental. I got it in my folder. You're going to hear it eventually. It's
on the rejoins?
Yeah, I got it.
On the rejoins?
I took your advice. Yep, I got it. It's somewhere in there.
Yo, McFair the Cavalier, you know, it's G-Makes. Yo, and shouts to Five Dog Guru, Craig Mack, and Havoc, R.I.P. You know, R.I.P. to my dogs.
Yeah.
And you know, Foo Philly and Cashman still sucks. You know, I've been saying that how many years?
Until 3 years we get a ring.
It's still Cashman sucks until we get the ring, and he should not have a chance to fix his mistakes. But we ain't going over. I want to talk a little football.
Okay.
Dallas at Giants on the Yanks day off. You know, stop. We got to stop the baseball negativity. But Dallas at Giants, thank God they didn't do week one.
Yeah,
seriously.
Good. Over that.
We got a reprieve from that.
That they switched it to being in Jersey, because I've been able to go to those, right? Usually it's freezing when they have it in Jersey, but enough is enough. It's kind of a mismatch. It's kind of like, you know, out of the gate, you know what Dallas is coming in with. I was there last year for 40-0. Like, let's save that.
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of years, and I just bought my tickets last week. I hope to meet you in person one day. You know, and you're going to be there pre-gaming it this year, I hope.
Yeah, I'll be with Jay Schmeezy, who calls the Fan, Bleacher Creature, who hosts a big tailgate out there, cooking it up, chefing it
up.
I plan on pulling up. We'll see. I want to go to Giants games and Jets games this year.
Yes.
I mean, I went last year, but more so, I want to see Aaron Rodgers play. I want to see that offense play and, like, actually be what we all want them to be.
Dallas.
And then we'll see. I think the Giants can be better than people think, too.
No Jets game is ever, no matter, it's Giants-Dallas.
Ever? There's no Jets game that's
see you there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Gary.
Hope you can make it early in the season if you want to see Rodgers.
That's what everybody's fearing now. I saw an article. What was it? Mike Tannenbaum was Tannenbaum was talking down on him. Somebody else was. They're just.
New York Post put out this thing. Only 10 quarterbacks ever have played at the age of 41 or whatever.
Yeah, coming back from an Achilles. Yep. You know what? Hey, that's what Aaron Rodgers wants. Give me your doubts. Give me your predictions. I'm going to prove you all wrong. But all we can go off of is what we know, man. Football is a rough-ass game. You're 40, and you told us coming out of the darkness that you were about to retire. You said you were 90% retired.
Exactly.
Anytime somebody tells you that, that's not good. Because if you can get to the point you're 90% retired in your mind, then your body's over 50%. And we saw that four plays in. It's hard to disconnect from I'm done to revving it back up. Where you did that last year, you only lasted four plays. Then you had to rehab for all of that and send us on this magic carpet ride that never ended with you returning. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming. I told you guys there was no way in hell he's coming back from a torn Achilles. But if you guys want to do that because you hate watching Zach Wilson and, I don't know, Tim Boyle is your only other option before you try and sign Trevor Siemian, then whatever. But, man, he hasn't played in a while. And on one hand, I think that he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And physically, if he's able to do it, he's Aaron Rodgers. There's no defense he hasn't seen. There's nothing that he hasn't seen on that field. If he physically has the arm strength and can stand on his own too and take some hits and they protect him, he can get it done. And I also think, you know, listening to him on McAfee, he talked about how he watched more football last year through the NFL than ever. And if you think about it, over the last 20-plus years, he hasn't had that much time to just sit back on the couch and assess Mike McCarthy's offense with Dak Prescott. And steal from other teams and say, oh, I like that play. I want us to run this. Nathaniel Hackett, there's going to be a big microscope on him. Let's see how you are with Aaron Rodgers. Let's see if they can keep him healthy. Let's see if they can keep him upright. You do have Tyrod Taylor there, but Tyrod Taylor is Tyrod Taylor. Like, do Tyrod Taylor and Tyrone Taylor get together for lunch?
I don't know.
I just like throwing that one out there for the Mets. Tyrone Taylor and Tyrod Taylor got to do some type of internet content together, Jets and Mets. 888-808-1019. We're still talking about the Mets, but had to speak on the Jets and the Giants. And Hard Knocks was great that first episode. We'll see where it goes. I think the new episode is coming out tomorrow
night,
yeah, great. Episode 2. All right, back to the phones we go. We're talking about the Yankees. We're talking about the Mets. And we're talking about the All-Star game that's approaching. Let's go to Lou in Astoria on the Fan. Hello, Lou.
Hey, Key, how's it going? How was the holiday?
It was good, man. I had to go.
As a family.
Yeah, I had to go to Jacksonville, Florida, where I used to spend some summers. My grandfather passed, and we had a 60th birthday party after his celebration of life. So it was good to get away from the New York Yankees. Nobody down there cares about the Yankees. They don't watch the Yankees. I turned on Fox, and they're just like, oh, what's this? Like, they're thinking A-Rod's still on the team or Jeter, and I'm like, nah. So it was good to get away
and
be with like some family that I've never seen. And we realized it was the first time my grandmother got all her grandkids together in one place. And I'm the oldest one. So it was nice.
That's great. Family first, like I said. Keith, I have a problem with every host in today's. And I know I called today and I got to emphasize.
What I do to you? You got a problem with me?
No, not you. I say almost every host.
Okay.
Why would I call you if I... No, you said every host.
That
I would never put you down, no matter what.
You're allowed. You're allowed. Most WFAN listeners hate one of us or all of us together.
You're the only guy that could be criticized. We're not holding against, okay?
Okay.
But today, everybody was talking about Gleyber Torres, the center fielder, Grisham. What's his name?
Trent Grisham.
Yeah, Trent Grisham. But you know what? All these things that was never mentioned about the slump that our number 22 is having, Soto.
I mentioned it, but you know, briefly. I said he's not hitting home runs. He's not hitting extra base hits anymore. He's not what we thought he was, and that's okay. He's allowed to slump. Go on.
He's going back to the baseball card anyway. Mm-hmm. You know that's the reason why he's in so many teams. Mm-hmm. Even George,
$600 million man, Lou. He's gonna make $600 million.
Exactly. Isn't that amazing? This world is crazy because I don't see it. I mean, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you have four players at the beginning of the season. Let me say four and a half because Cabrera was also in there, I mean, you know, at the beginning when we beat Houston. But I don't understand Volpe, Verdugo. When those guys, I mean, the first inning, like I was saying, we always have one or two runs with a starting pitcher, which made it easy for them to go on, okay? It's a big difference. People don't understand. It's a mental thing, okay? I mean, right now, I have a problem with sort of hitting 179 in a couple of weeks, okay? And you know what? I mean, hey, he's entitled to it, but this guy is a one-dimensional player who just walks and clutches the freaking bases because he don't steal. He doesn't do anything. Even that game that we was losing by one, a couple of runs or one run, he was in first. He didn't even try to steal a base, okay? Which the way this game is so easy to do. Now, another thing is Giancarlo Stanton. This is the guy, and I know you like him, okay? I don't. I never. I think that was the biggest.
It's not that I like him. I think he gets a bad rap for a guy that has, I mean.
Well, let me finish. Keith. This is the guy that jogs, okay? Every play, every time he runs, he jogs around the bases.
He has to. The speed limit for him is 2 miles an hour.
Not only that, but then he goes like Verdugo going around the bases, okay? And then he gets hurt.
Yeah, Verdugo was hot dogging. Verdugo was taking that.
Exactly. And how can you tell Boone to tell Glaber, hey, you're not hustling him, by the way, because of hustling, he got hurt.
When
you got this guy making
it's different a ground ball. Thanks for the call, Lou. It's different when there's a ground ball that you could beat out, similar to DJ trying to, what it looked like, DJ is slow, but it looked like when he realized he could almost beat it out, he sped up a little bit. He didn't bust it out of the box. He wasn't going full tilt, but he's not fast. That's different. That's different than a Gleyber Torres in the Subway Series being pouty Gleyber, puppy dog Gleyber, I'm struggling, I'm out again, and not running it out. Versus Verdugo, who obviously has been struggling, but I said he needed to circle another date, right? He had that date in Fenway circle. I guess he waited until the Red Sox came to town, and he hits that home run, and he pimps the hell out of it. Him trotting around the base paths, that's got nothing to do with hustle. That's him hot-dogging. That's him showboating. That's him against his former team and fan base saying, okay, I broke through. I finally ended my homerless streak. And obviously didn't have too much after that. And that also falls on Boone. Right? They already had to tell this guy when in the Arizona series, and now when you go back to the Houston series and the Arizona series and some of the other series early on in this year, the way the Yankees started, you realize that the teams that they beat early on weren't that good either. But I remember in the Arizona series, that last game, the rubber match game, him pimping that home run, I think it was in the top of the ninth, or like the game wasn't over. You didn't win the game. And it was a bad look. It was cool to see all the West Coast fans, hands in the air, Verdugo the dog pimping that home run, but it almost came back to bite them because the game wasn't over. Boone has to have a conversation. Hey, bro, like, chill. We still have to face Devers, who owns Gerrit Cole. He owns us. He dominates Aaron Boone-led teams. He dominates in the Bronx. This guy just hit his 20th homer in the Bronx. I don't know what the number is. It feels like that. But chill with the hot dog, and it's not all about you. It's about this team right now. Trent Grisham, yeah, we understand it's hot. It's the ninth inning. You're tired. But, man, field that ball and throw it in. Volpe, you're the shortstop of the team. I know we asked you to be the leadoff hitter. Keith McPherson's on the fan for weeks saying it's too much on a 23-year-old kid's plate in his second year, a kid that did not have the proper development in the minors. You're asking him to be everything, to be the captain of the defense, and to lead off against everybody's ace. Like, it's too much. Okay. It was too much for him to run home. It's inexcusable. It's terrible. And you know what? These type of things happen and fester when guys aren't locked in and they're not held accountable. That's it. And that's why you guys want to fire Aaron Boone. I don't know who's telling you that Aaron Boone's job is. I told you guys weeks ago, he's not getting fired. So you're wasting your breath on the fan talking about Aaron Boone. It's just like, he's not getting fired. This is a team with 55 wins. And this is a guy that does have that clubhouse. It's just unfortunate that he doesn't have the clubhouse where he can tighten them up. He's had their backs against umps where he gets mad, and he's cool dad. And they got to do it for cool dad. Sometimes cool dad prevails, but like, I don't know, maybe Judge or maybe even Stroman lose it again. I wouldn't mind Stroman losing it again. Somebody's got to have some urgency, be pissed off, and make everyone feel like, yo, this is do or die, life or death right now. 3 hours down, 2 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the fan. Don't go anywhere. Call the show. We'll be right back.